I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Familiar with a large body of evidence that shows that providing good affirming care saves lives.
Are you saying that you're unaware of the large body of medical evidence of the harm that has come upon these people in these processes we've been gone through? Are you unaware of that body of evidence?
I will repeat what I just said.
Are you unaware of that body of evidence?
I will repeat what I just said.
You said that you're a trans woman.
A trans female, yes, ma'am, sir.
Do you have a penis?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
You're the one that brought that into the discussion.
I never said anything about genitalia.
Oh, it has everything to do with genitalia.
I don't know what my rights are right now.
Oh my God. Audience, if you want to stay in here.
I don't know what my rights are, but that question was highly inappropriate.
Highly inappropriate? That's what you're teaching our kids, dealing with their genitalia. This is Feb 16, 2023. You were listening to Arkansas State Senator Matt McKee questioning his witness, Gwendolyn Herzig, a trans female pharmacy owner. They were having a hearing regarding Arkansas Senate Bill 199. Senate Bill 199 is basically going to help restrict gender confirmation surgery on minors. It would allow medical malpractice lawsuits against Arkansas doctors who provide gender-affirming care if they perform this surgery and the minor is injured, including without limitation to any physical, psychological, emotional, or psychological injury. Now, you do know that when they do transgender surgery for boys, it involves genitalia. It involves a penis. And if you're going to do it for girls, it involves chopping off their breast and also reshaping them. But here, oh, I'm appalled. I don't know what my rights are here. Your rights are to keep your hands off our children. But here in debating and in presenting this Senate bill and the arguments that took place, they had a dozen people speak against the bill to protect children. That included some doctors and social workers, and the one that suddenly got asked that question was, oh, I'm appalled you would bring that up. I am appalled that you want to do this to our children, often without parental oversight. The state witnesses frequently citing studies from Sweden, Finland, the United Kingdom that claim gender-affirming care is unsafe for minors. And, of course, they had parents of four minor plaintiffs claiming, oh, their children's health is much better since they've had it. Might be for some. Maybe not others. And while that's underway in Arkansas, in the St. Louis area of the Washington University, as we reported last week, a whistleblower who had been a former employee at the Washington University Transgender Center described the medically and morally appalling scenario on display at Washington University Transgender Center. Now doctors from St. Louis Transgender Clinic are telling teachers to affirm an entire group of fifth graders, despite fears they're being influenced by their friends. This story coming actually from the Daily Mail, UK, reporting that a teacher in a school district in the St. Louis area contacted the doctors at WashU and said, I've got to have some help. I've got a group of fifth graders, ages 10 to 11, all girls, now claiming they were transgender. What do I do? They ended up were being told, well, what you need to do is just affirm, validate, and allow them to explore. That does not help our children. You moved to the state of Georgia. There's a plan and a proposal. Got passed along party lines yesterday to go forward, but that was only in the Senate, to erect a statue on the Capitol grounds dedicated to Justice Clarence Thomas, a native of the Peach State. Well, here came a state senator, Emanuel Jones, complaining.
Anytime that we have a resolution
legislation proposing to place a statue of Clarence Thomas on this grounds, we cannot avoid that conversation, so I'm not going to avoid it either. In the black community, we have an expression, and I don't want to use this label too deeply here because I'm just trying to tell you what we have in the African-American community. When we talk about a person of color that goes back historically to days of slavery and that person betraying his own community, we have a term in the black community. That term that we use is called Uncle Tom.
Right there, stop. Uncle Tom is used as a slur inside the black community and outside. But then the state senator, while mouthing off, admits, I know nothing.
Uncle Tom is either a fictional or non-fictional character. I don't really know the origin of Uncle Tom, but it talks about a person who back during the days of slavery sold his soul to the slave masters. That's the story, the fictitious of the story of an Uncle Tom. So when we think about a person in the black community who's accomplished, but yet policies seek to subvert, some may even say suppress, the achievements and accomplishments of people of color, I couldn't help but to think about that term in expressing my dissatisfaction with this particular legislation.
Well, let's just educate the state senator. Uncle Tom is fictional. Uncle Tom's Cabin, published in 1852 by Harriet Beecher Stowe. She admits she drew on various other sources, but she thought, as a white woman, I can help spread the abolitionist movement better. And Uncle Tom was not subservient. In fact, he was ultimately whipped to death after refusing to reveal the location of two runaway slaves. But it's all been confused and convoluted because what they don't want to also admit during that time, the controlling factors in that part of the country were Democrats who also ended up forming the Klan. Don't pay attention to the history here. Just keep moving on. Coming up, John Lott, founder of Crime Research, author of Gun Control Myths, Fighting to Protect the Second Amendment. Also, believe it or not, the New York Times deserves praise for helping protect children from woke predators. It's all still to come. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before because he's an expert on his topic and, in fact, has out a book titled Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies Have Twisted the Facts on Gun Control. But, hey, we know the left, when it comes to facts, unless it fits their agenda, they don't recognize the facts. John Lott, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, sir. Now, I'm looking at several things. First of all, let's talk about your book itself briefly about gun control myths. I can think of several that come to mind. What do you think is the most prevalent? And is that if we get rid of guns, then we won't have violence? Is that it?
Well, the book goes through 45 different myths about guns, but just taking the last one that you have, there are places around the world that have banned either all guns or all handguns. We've seen it happen in the United States, in Chicago and Washington, D.C., for example. And yet every single place around the world that's banned either all guns or all handguns has seen an increase in murder rates. You think out of randomness, once or twice, it would go down or at least stay the same. And yet every single time it goes up. And there's a simple reason for that, and that is if you ban guns, it's going to be primarily the most law-abiding good citizens who are going to obey the ban. You may take a few guns away from the criminals, but if you're primarily disarming the law-abiding good citizens, you actually make it easier for criminals to go and commit crimes.
And the issue
but
with...
there are other myths.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, there are lots of other myths. I mean, you know, you have issues about whether the United States is somehow unique in terms of mass public shooting.
Right.
In fact, we're way below the world average.
Would you state that again? I want you to state that again. When you say we're well below the international average, is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, right. We're well below the world average. There are a number of countries in Europe that have higher per capita rates of mass public shootings than the United States. And once you get outside of Europe, there are lots of countries that have much higher rates.
Well, why don't we hear about those? I mean, is it because it's the issue of mass shootings that they keep saying, and the left loves to jump in on that and say, that's unique to America? Actually, mass shootings are not unique to us, but is that part of their argument?
Well, I think part of the thing is just what's kind of newsworthy. If you have an attack in the United States, the U.S. media is going to cover that a lot more than they're going to cover attacks that occur in other countries. But my guess is most people don't even know, if you take the last decade or so, where it just comparing just Western Europe to the United States, where the worst mass public shootings have occurred. In fact, the worst one occurred in Paris, France in November 2015. You had 130 people shot to death at a concert.
Their argument will be that was a terrorist action, several people involved at one time, not just one gunman walking into a school or into a mall and suddenly opening fire. That's going to be their argument. What's your response?
Well, there are a couple of responses, but one is the fact that you're not going to count the San Bernardino attack in the United States. You're not going to count the Fort Hood or the Chattanooga or some of the other.
No, they're not. To answer you, no, they're not going to count it. They're not going to.
They obviously do count.
Yeah.
They obviously do count it. You know, Columbine had two students doing the attack. There are other ones that have had multiple people doing the attack in the United States. But, you know, you take the second worst one, that was in Norway. You had one killer there who by himself shot to death 67 people, which is significantly more than any.
And those were young kids. They gathered for a camp, a long camp, and it did not stop. It did not stop until what? They called Ghostbusters, or did they call somebody with Play-Doh to distract them? No, they had to call people with guns to stop it.
Right. Well, I mean, I think he had basically run out of ammunition by the time.
Yeah, but stopping it, really.
To show up there.
You know, you point out something in one of your pieces that, for instance, let's deal with women. More women are carrying guns now than ever before, and we're seeing that at gun shops. We're seeing it, by stats. You point out in one of your articles that when women say that they fear they're being stalked by an intimate partner or someone else, they're always told, oh, maybe you should change jobs, change your route, time of day, have friends with you, learn judo, karate, or boxing. They never tell them, get a gun.
Right. No, I mean, they're basically told to completely change their lives. They're told to change their names, as you say, jobs, told to leave for work at a different time every day and take a different route. Once in a while you hear them talking about taking some type of martial arts class. But that usually isn't enough to go and offset the size and strength differences that you see between men and women. And yet the one thing that they refuse to go and give advice on is getting a concealed handgun permit and being able to go and carry a concealed handgun for protection. But as you say, there's been a big change over the last decade. The rate that women have been getting concealed handgun permits has increased about 100% faster than for men. Women now make up about 30% of concealed handgun permit holders in the United States. And, glad to see that because a gun is by far the safest course of action for a woman.
It's not just getting the gun, but get training. And normally if you have to get a concealed carry permit in a state, then you're going to have to do some training. Some states are open carry, not just open carry, but no permit needed. Second Amendment guarantees a right. So, and I do regret that because I think anyone buying a gun should be trained and then be willing to use it at the time or it'll be taken away from them. But speaking of permits.
Can I just make a fast what you see is that even in the constitutional carry states, people are getting training. When I've data for a couple states, Kansas and Idaho, and when they moved to constitutional carry, you saw about a 20 to 25% increase in the percent of people getting training there. What happens when you move to constitutional carry is that people get more practical training. A lot of the states, when they go and set up training rules, have political decisions about what's going to be included in the training. So, like, you look at a place like California as an extreme example. They require 16 hours of training, but 2.5 hours of that is on safe storage of guns. And if you go and you read the curriculum.
Two and a half hours on how to safely store your gun, just put it under lock and key, I think that we're done with the class. Go ahead.
Right. You would do a good job teaching that. And that'd be a fine thing. But the point of the time that they spend on it is really just to try to scare people into not owning guns.
Right. That's their agenda. That's their agenda. Now on the permits themselves, though, you've got disparities in the sense if you have to have a permit, like the state of Illinois, bordering Missouri. You have to have a permit. Sure. It's something like $400 if you're going to buy a gun in the state of Illinois. In Missouri, you don't have to have a permit, so there's a cost issue they throw in there too, and it affects mostly the most vulnerable demographic of our culture, the minority, those living in urban areas where they are targets of thugs and gangs on a regular basis.
No, that's exactly right. Look, there are two issues about the permits. One is the cost, as you're pointing out, and that is, I don't have the numbers memorized for Missouri, but if you compare Illinois and Indiana, for example.
Neighboring state of Illinois. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. In Indiana, over 22% of the adult population has a permit. In Illinois, it's just over 4%. The reason is pretty simple. In Indiana, the cost of getting a permit is literally zero. In Illinois, it's, as you say, it's over $400. And it's just not the percent of people, but also the type of people. In Illinois, it's primarily wealthy white males who live in the suburbs. And that's fine, but they're not the ones who are the most likely victims of violent crime that are there. In Indiana, you have much more poor zip codes that are heavily minority. And if you're going to reduce crime, you have to have the people who are the most likely victims of violent crime, as you said, are going to have to be able to go and carry. The other thing about permits is the delay. If you have a woman who's being stalked or threatened, and it takes 2 months, some places in the country it takes over a year for a permit to be approved, even 2 months, might be much too long for her make her wait before she's able to go and protect herself. If you're in Missouri and a woman's being stalked or threatened, you know, let's say she already knows how to use a gun, she can go and start carrying it instantly. Rather than having to wait months.
In the last 2 minutes, I want to drill down a couple things real fast. And one is reciprocity of gun permits or availability to do so, like a driver's license. Will we get there or we will not?
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, mainly because all the Democrats in the Senate have come out against it now.
Now, the other point I want to get into very quickly, the most recent shooting, President Biden issued a statement saying, Jill and I are praying for the victims. A Michigan congressman had sent to various constituents and others saying, F your prayers, I don't want to hear anything more about that. And other people have said the same thing. A Biden follower that designates himself as the youngest Biden delegate or something of that nature said, F the prayers, you know. We don't hear about praying. We want to hear stopping the guns. I believe in prayer, but in the last 30 seconds, I'll let you sum that up.
Look, I want to do something, but I want to do something that actually matters.
Right.
So they talk about things like background checks on the private transfers of guns. They wouldn't even prosecute this person for a felony charge that would have put him in jail for 5 years. The Soros-backed district attorney there refused to prosecute him because he was black. And she was into this equity justice type thing.
John,
if he was done, then it
would have taken the gun away. And I'm sorry, too. We're up against a hard break. As always, I appreciate this. John Lott, he's the founder of the Crime Research Organization. Look it up, please, in his book, Gun Control Myths. John, always an engaging conversation. We could go for 2 hours, but thank you for your time, sir. And we also, of course, have to look at other issues still to come. Stand by. It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal is a roofing company trusted all over the Midwest, but also has a national reputation. John Beal is an Owens Corning Platinum contractor. Less than 1% of roofing contractors in the nation meet that professional standard. Now, that's pretty amazing. But John Beal also guarantees you the lowest price. John Beal Personal Service, always going above and beyond. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid, I'm a dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There are two things every American is going to realize at the conclusion of our investigation, and that's number one, that multiple members of the Biden family were involved in the influence peddling schemes. And number two, most of these big deals were initiated during Joe Biden's term as vice president. Now, the narrative that the defenders in the media are trying to portray on Hunter Biden, now that the laptop has been proven to be real and the evidence on it is legitimate, is that, well, these deals happened just by the president's son, who, by the way, had an addiction problem, and it didn't matter because Joe Biden wasn't in office during this time. That's not true. These deals were initiated while Joe Biden was vice president, and multiple members of the family were involved in this scheme.
Wow. Those are the words of Kentucky Congressman James Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, as he appeared on Sean Hannity last night, talking about how his committee is digging into the crime Biden family and its crime schemes. My words, not his. But James Biden, Joe Biden's brother, There are court records showing that an American company had a deal with the Saudis, and the Saudis were not going to pay the hundreds of millions of dollars they were due to the American company. So they called on James Biden to come to their rescue. Their reasoning? Nobody's going to stiff the vice president's brother. And sure enough, the deal got done. And while James Comer is looking for more documents, he might want to see more from the FBI. Word coming out just last night that over the last few weeks, the FBI has searched the University of Delaware for more classified materials. They haven't really made it public, have they? No, they have not. They say they didn't retrieve any classified documents, but they did take some documents with them. Here's why the University of Delaware could be very important. That university received more than $6.7 million from anonymous donors from China, just like the Penn Biden Center did. Millions of dollars of donations from China. Now, there are a lot of questions, and as you hear, a lot of Biden family members are involved. It's not just Hunter Biden doped up, snorting cocaine with a prostitute beside himself, and whatever he was doing, I could care less, but compromising our national security and the president, that's the issue. And of course, we're still waiting to see. Supposedly it will happen sometime next month. Biden will announce officially, I'm running. A lot of Democrats don't want him to. Right now, he's the oldest president in U.S. history, age 80. If he should win, it'd be 86 by the end of a second term. Biden insists my mental ability, I'm perfect. I'm good. Everything's functioning. Well, according to Politico Magazine and CNN, Democrats are worried about Biden's ability to win re-election and lead the party to victory again. One congressman of Minnesota said nobody wants to be the one to do something that would undermine the chances of a Democratic victory in 2024. Yet in quiet rooms, the conversation is just the opposite. We could be at a higher risk if Biden moves forward. A second lawmaker even suggested that, you know, maybe if somebody would just talk to Jill Biden and say, look at what he's accomplished, just be glad that he beat Donald Trump, and then ride off into the sunset with the so-called moral victory. What do you think? Will he do that? Some still say, even on this day that he's taking his physical, he's not capable. We'll see what the doctor says when the physical is finished. There are going to have to be a lot of physicals and exams in East Palestine, Ohio, the site of that train derailment. EPA checking almost 500 homes so far, but residents of East Palestine, since the day of the derailment, Feb 3, all the toxic gases released then and since, there are many residents that are making complaints about their health. Here's one.
Right after it happened, I personally, and then I had a couple friends of mine, did not feel well. Okay. And it did go away, and also the smell has definitely been different.
What kind of symptoms were you experiencing?
My stomach, like my abdomen, like stomach ache, like a lot of pain. And then my friends, they had coughs. It's not good.
Not good. That is an East Palestine, Ohio resident talking about what they were exposed to following the derailment of that train in their area. This is 40 miles to the west of Pittsburgh, right on the Ohio-Pennsylvania line. And as you heard him say, I had pains in the stomach I've never experienced before, and my friends had coughs. Now, no doubt there are going to be some that will be come rushing in, making claims, and they were not even in the area. I mean, it's like you have a bus, a public bus involved in an accident, and the driver says, I had 15 people on board. Well, before it's over with, there are 55 people that were on board that bus. Oh, my neck and everything. You know, they're just trying to buy into it. In this case, I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. We have to accept it. But I also know that when you're in the midst of some of these chemicals that have been released from that train wreck, you may well have those kinds of issues and more. And, of course, we understand that today the EPA is actually going to the scene. Today? It happened Feb 3. Now, I've been looking, and I haven't had time to do full research. So if I'm wrong, I stand corrected. But I don't think there's been a true EPA official on site, certainly not within the first day or two. Maybe I'm wrong, but they're making a big deal out of it. Now they are. But Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, no, he's nowhere near it. We don't even have him flying over and pointing down. Now, that looks bad. We will take care of it. He doesn't do anything. You know, what he was doing at that time, he was delivering a speech on there are too many construction agencies or groups going into communities and employing too many white people as opposed to minorities. That might well be an issue, but right now you've got a major disaster on your hands and you're just ignoring it. Once again, back to the Ohio resident and what some of what they were suffering.
Most people did not take any precautions because no one from the federal level gave any precautions. There was nothing, there was no advice or anything. It was just like, all right, we are going to do a controlled nuke of your town, okay? And look over here while the whole cloud over the whole town is just black, going, oh, it's definitely not toxic. Don't worry about a thing. People are like, I can't breathe. Other people are coughing. I'm getting stomach abdomen pain that I've never had in my life. 33 years, never had in my entire life. And all of a sudden it's there. But don't worry, it has nothing to do with the toxic chemicals. Not at all.
Not at all. Yeah. Well, of course it would have to do. Your breathing issues. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to figure that kind of stuff out. They had vinyl chloride, highly volatile, colorless gas that was there. And then when it derailed, it spilled the chemicals. This is a 50-car derailment right there in their own town. They think it might be because of a broken axle in one of the cars, which might have been a box car that got caught on video previously, and it suddenly derailed the train. And when it derailed, you got all these flammable chemicals and tankers blowing up. Thank God nobody's killed. But what other kind of issues? It will take a while to sort out and take care of them properly. And Joe Biden and Buttigieg, they're off somewhere over here.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, let me add to the previous story about the train wreck in East Palestine, Ohio. Quentin pulled this up and said that the EPA claims to have screened almost 500 homes as of yesterday, and 14 scheduled for today. That's 486 yesterday, to be specific, 14 today. That's 500 homes. It's a sparsely populated area. I mean, it's not a big major area, but I don't know. I don't know if they're still doing what they should be doing. The New York Times, back in November, wrote a story about gender-affirming drugs for transgender kids could cause permanent physical and emotional damages. New York Times stated that. And a January article of the New York Times reported on parents who discovered their children have become transgender behind their backs with the help of the schools. Kudos to the New York Times reporting staff for doing that, and for the New York Times editorial control to let it go through. But they're getting backlash now. Various Hollywood celebrities, Judd Apatow and Lena Dunham, all joining transgender activists, they're attacking the New York Times over its recent coverage of transgender children and how they've been transgendered behind their parents' backs with the help of the school. And they are saying that we're disappointed the New York Times followed the lead of far-right hate groups. Parents protecting their children are not a hate group any more than they are terrorists. But let's not let the facts get in the way of a story and a good narrative, as they have it already built out. A petition from GLAAD claims that for more than a year, the New York Times has stood for something irresponsible, biased coverage of transgender people. You have to give credit to the New York Times, as many times we've blasted you. You have to give them credit for telling the facts of the truth for everyone. As always, I thank you for listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.